Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water.
Sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of the Living Water, the show of Israel of Come and See Ministries. And the Coming Well for Israel Bible Study Classes. Also, today is a special day. Well, and tomorrow, but today, special day. Not only is it a Sabbath, but it's a fast. And I mean, it's a fast for the Sabbath, right? It is a fast for Sabbath. We have to keep that in mind because we're going to go into some things here. It's going to explain some things. And a lot of us is not really aware of the atonement, let alone how to perform it. And to most of us, man, these things are new, you know. These things are new. keeping the feast days and such. And so in a lot of cases, we rely on someone else to give us our feast days. You know, and here at Come and See Ministries and also the Commonwealth, we believe in teaching how to keep the feast days because we shouldn't be spoon-feeding you how to keep the feast days. You should be already, you should know what the feast days are next year. It shouldn't be, once we teach you, just like, you know, we teach the commandments of God. Once we show you, then it's your responsibility to keep up with those things. Well, those things also are said for the feast days. It is not guaranteed that any of us is going to be in the same vicinity this time next year. So there's no guarantee that we will be able to keep this feast this time next year in a manner that we are. You see, what do you mean? Well, hey, man, the way the world is changing, as fast as it's changing, you better know how to keep the law. Because you may not have a teacher around to do it for you. You know, and what happens if, you know, they decide to turn off the power grid? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your Bibles, man? You know, you've been using these notebooks and stuff like that, and these digital texts and all this, and then you're waiting on somebody to spoon feed you. What are you going to do when the lights go out? And they are going out. They're going to go out. You just better know where you are and what do you plan to do. My suggestion at this time is start loading up on candles. You guys think it's funny, but it's not. It's funny not, right? we loading up on candles here, but you better, because the power grids are being tested right now. Half of Minneapolis was shut down, half of St. Paul was shut down just yesterday, you know, because of the storm, you know. Power grids was lost. But what if, you know, there's a cyber effect or a cyber hacker decide to shut down all of the United States? What are you going to do? Can't run to the store then because everything is out. You know, everything is shut down. So now you got to start learning these things for yourselves. We must learn these things for ourselves. These things don't come to your mind unless you are in a position to teach your family or a congregation yourself. So you start learning these things because these things are things that belong to God. So before you just jump into them, you know, you want to make sure you got them right. You know, you want to make sure you got them right. So here at Come and See Ministries and the Sounds of Living Waters, Commonwealth of Israel, we believe in the prophetic calendar. The prophetic calendar, which is gauged by a 30-day month, not a moon. The moon is a reflection of something that God put in the heavens to give time and things like that. We get that. But it's not a set law. And it's so not set because it moves. It changes. It's not set. The set laws are in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, the set laws are there. That's where the set laws are located. Therefore, they can't move. They're unmovable. The moon, it got cycles. Even at different times of the year, from the Earth's this latitude and that latitude, it's moving, but the laws are set. And then when you look at the Levitical, the feast days in the chapter 23 of Leviticus, you'll see that they're all numbered. They all been numbered. Ain't nothing in there about a moon. Moses did not mention a new moon, except in Genesis chapter 1. That's the only time Moses mentioned a moon. He didn't mention a new moon. So we can't sit and gauge those things. If you operate in according to the 180-day calendar, on the 15th day of the 7th month, that moon is going to be 100% full, blinking full, 100%. You see, if you're operating out of the new moon, you see, dang, man, we're talking about the first month. We talk about the 7th month, and here we are in the feast days. You already kept the trumpets, right? And some of us, we keep the trumpets with a feast, and we enjoy each other, and we enjoy each other's company. Some of us, we keep it kind of dry, you know, like, yeah, it's another feast day. We just get through it. Oh, it's just another class. We just got to attend, you know, the trumpets. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's a good lesson. Yeah, no doubt. Man, are you kidding me? That's the coming of the Lord. You got the first resurrection taking place. You got the world being smashed and taken over. You got the priesthood being set up. You got the Chesedic priesthood set up. You got a new language, a new everything. You got longevity. You got immortality on the earth. Yeah, it's not a feast day. Okay, all right, have at it. But our fathers taught it that it was. Nehemiah and Ezra, they taught us as a feast day. And they the priests. They put the kingdom back together according to the law. So if anybody got it right, them brothers got it right. So I'm going to roll with them before I roll with anybody else. you know, because flesh will get you, and it'll get you bad. So the last thing we want to do is listen at flesh. We want to look at the law. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at the law. We're going to find out why this feast is called on the ninth day. Now, let's get started. If I can, if I can get my brothers and sisters to stand and face Jerusalem. And one more thing. Do I got a reader? Do I have a reader?
Yes, sir, you do.
Amen. Amen. Well, all praises. All praises. That's a blessing. The microphone is good. Everything is good. It's loud and clear.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. You are definitely clear. All right, well, if we can, we can ask the family, sister, brothers and sisters, if you can stand and face Jerusalem and approach the Father. Brothers, if you can uncover your heads, and sisters, if you can uncover your head, cover your head as we approach the Father. And brother, if you can open us up with a script, that'll be a blessing.
Okay. Okay. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I have read Psalms 26, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord add a blessing unto the reading and teaching of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to proceed and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Israel. Well, look, bro, let's do this. Let's get this started, man. Let's start this in. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, where all the feast days are. You know what I mean? Where the Lord calls them. So we're going to start at verse 1 because we didn't kept all of them. So we're going to just read in, right? We're going to read all the way down to the one we're getting to, right? And
yes, sir.
Then we're going to pick up the precepts. So with that being said, bro, start at Leviticus chapter 23 and 1.
Leviticus 23:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And
now we kept that.
On the
we kept the Lord's Passover. And we are now, that's the first feast of the summer. And that's called the Passover. And we kept that. That's the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. A lot of us think the 15th day, I don't know why we keep calling the 15th day the first day, because the book do not declare the 15th day as the first day. It make mention in a sentence of the first day, but never declare the 15th day as the first day. And what is the first day of unleavened? If Jesus said, I'm your Passover, and he's an unleavened bread from heaven, what are we thinking? I mean, are we thinking? Did Jesus just tell you out of his mouth, I am the feast of unleavened bread? He the first. So, of course, this would be the first day. The Passover is the first day of unleavened bread. And we are witness to ourselves. I'm going to put this out there. I need to ask this question, bruh. Keith, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
When the last time you bought some Matzo crackers?
Probably March, late March.
Okay. Have you bought some last week?
No.
Week before last?
Nope.
Last month? Month before last?
Nope.
Winter?
Nope.
Last winter? You bought some Matzo crackers last winter? No? No?
No. Nope.
You know why? Because that unleavened bread, those Matzos is dry, plain, and we can try to make the most out of them. We really do. We try to make pizzas, and we deal with a little chili, some soup. We try to get through it, right? But you ain't
right.
Eat Matzos until the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first time
right.
You eat a matzo is on a Passover. The first, look, unless you make hot water cornbread, you ain't thinking about unleavened bread. Forget about it. Not in America. Not here.
No.
So we are witness to ourselves that we are keeping the first day of unleavened bread by eating matzos on the Passover every year. So we are witness to ourselves, brother. That the
Amen.
First day of unleavened is the Passover. And I'm going to tell you like this, man. I ain't too crazy about cooking hot water cornbread all the time or eating it all the time. I mean, it's a dig. Some people can make them like pancakes. You know, they sweet, honey. They taste really, really good. Don't get me wrong. But I ain't trying to eat them every day. You can forget it. It's not finna happen. Not here in the West. Right? So
right.
We're witness to ourselves that the first time we eat unleavened bread is on the Passover. So the first day of unleavened bread that you eat is on the Passover, that I eat is on the Passover, for real, for real. So let's knock that off. Anyway, continuing. Read on, brother.
All right.
In fact,
verse,
I'm going to have you read all the way down to verse 23.
Okay.
I'm going to try not to interrupt, except for when you get to a new day.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go.
Verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow.
Okay, now,
after
now
the
this is the wave offering. The wave offering kicks off the Pentecost. Some of us don't even keep the wave offering. I mean, it's right here. It's listed. It's right here. Inside of the law saying, here am I, biggest day, and we are deliberately walk over it and say, well, you know, priesthood, we ain't got to deal with that. Then why are you dealing with any of it? You can't deal with none of it. If there's no priesthood, bruh, you can't deal with none of it. If that's our answer to it, if that's our answer to not keeping a wave offering, I can't justify, I cannot unjustify the guy that's keeping Christmas. I can't take that from him. This is that thing. That's impossible. How am I going to take Christmas from somebody and I'm dissecting the Bible? That'll make me a hypocrite. Now, I'm going to pick and choose what I'm going to keep, pick and choose what I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to keep the Passover, right, with crackers and wine. And Jesus has poured out his blood, and the only thing I can come up with is crackers, right? But on the 15th day, I want to do it big, and Christ ain't even here. He in a tomb dead. Wait a minute. Do that even sound right? Think about that for a minute. And then God said, let all your males appear before me. Well, if Jesus is in the tomb and the first day of unleavened bread is on the 15th day, guess what? He broke his own law. So the point of him even being on the cross has just gotten blowed up. Because somebody like you and I will go and say, hey, man, ain't all the males supposed to appear on the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Pentecost and the Tabernacles? Well, yeah. Then where's Jesus at? Because he's not here. He gave us the law. Where is he? Oh, well, he died yesterday. Well, what was yesterday? It was the Passover. Oh, okay, that makes sense. First day of Unleavened Bread. He was there. So, look, y'all can party all day you want to on the 15th day. I'm going to eat and drink with the Christ. How about that on a 14th day? Who all in on that? That's what's
up. Amen.
Okay. Let's move on. So he's the wave offering. So him dying, right, and for a long time,
right.
I couldn't, you know, we couldn't get this scripture squared away. We was on 75th at the time, and I was going to this class at the Call of Israel of God at the time. And we kept running into the scripture. The seventh day, he rose as he began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which is Matthew. And then we ran into John. He was woke on the first day. He was around on the first day as it began, as it was the first day of the week, which would have been the wave offering, what we're reading about right here. It's the first Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. It's the first Sunday, the first day after the Sabbath day, is the wave offering. Christ was accepted on the first day. That's what that John 21 is about. That's the wave offering, people. And what was the disciples and them doing? Eating. Jesus came in, give me a little fish, give me a little something, you know. He ate, he drank, he taught them a few things, and then he got out of there. Feast day. And it's in these laws. So he said, keep them in their season. Let's remember that, because you can't hide a Sabbath day any time of the week, right? So we got to remember when to keep the feast. You got to be conscious of that. You got to be on the money with the feast day. Remember now, when we read in this, there's nothing here about a moon. Everything is a spiritual count. Everything. So he told you on the 14th day of the first month, not the moon, 14th day of the first month is the feast of the Passover. On the 15th day, which will be a full moon, you don't hear nothing about that in Leviticus chapter 23. On the 15th day, on the full moon, there will be a feast of unleavened bread. That's not there. Stop putting it there. Stop adding to the scripture. It don't work. Get done with that. Now we move around from there. Then you got the 7th day, 21st day. Then you got on the 20th one, on the 1 and 20th day is the last night of the feast. So you got the last night, which is on the 7th day of the feast, which is Dev. Sundown on the 21st, that's a brand new week. Get about it. You already missed it. So now, here come the wave offering right behind that. Now look at this count. Now, he right there in the middle of the week. What'd he do again? He tell us to look for a moon, or do he tell us to count some more? Keep reading.
And he shall wave the sheep before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. After the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and he shall offer.
Really low.
It might be. I'm not sure. It could be my microphone. Can you hear me now? And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings.
How long is it going to be?
Forever.
So you can't change that. We ain't got the autonomy to change nothing in the law, nothing in the feast days. Nobody has the power to change the feast days. You can't cancel out a feast day. You don't have that power. None of us has the power to cancel a feast day. We can break the feast days. We can break the laws. We cannot participate, but we can't change it, and we can't cancel it out. We don't.
Verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaves of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock and two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with the meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Then ye shall offer one kid. Then ye shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations.
Continue.
And when ye reap the harvest of your land.
Let the people know where you're at, man.
Oh, sorry. I'm at Leviticus 23 and 22.
Okay.
And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord God spake unto Moses.
Bruh, this whole conversation right there is nothing but the first resurrection. First of all, he kicked it off with Christ coming up out the ground, being a wave offering. Now, the wave offering kicks off the Pentecost. Now, how you going to sit up and say, well, we're going to keep the Pentecost and don't keep the wave offering, when the wave offering is the power of the Pentecost? You can't have a wave offering without the Pentecost. You can't have a Pentecost without the wave offering, I should say. If Christ is not accepted of the Father, there isn't a Pentecost. So I don't even know how you can get to that. I don't even know how you can say that in your mouth, period, knowing that none of this don't exist unless he's accepted. You know, we don't throw that out there as honorable mention. He put a feast in there that's dedicated to him being accepted for us. So we got to keep that. Now, in this feast, he just said, number ye 50 days, right?
Right.
Nothing in there about a moon. I have yet to run into a moon. All we doing is counting, Jack. All we doing is doing numbers. We doing a numbers game. That's what it is. Right?
Right.
So he said, now you count 50 days, and then now you come to the Pentecost, which is this. This is that. Now, this sacrifice got some leavening in it. Why? Because we're not in the week of unleavened. This sacrifice is the first fruit, which is the summer harvest, right? From what's planted in the summer. So this is the summer harvest. This is what we call the first fruits. This is what we call the first resurrection feast. Now we are about to go into the winter feast. Continue.
Leviticus 23 and 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also, on the tenth.
Stop. So you got the memorial blowing of the trumpets here. And because people say here, you know, you don't, because it's just plain and simple, on the first day of the seventh month, you have a feast called the memorial blowing of the trumpets. We're not even having a feast. And the Lord said, you have a feast. These are my feasts. Since when the trumpets isn't a feast? Well, because it's a memorial. Stop it. Just knock that off. If you say memorial one more again, don't say it. Just say, okay, man, you know, hey, maybe we can have a feast next year. Don't deny it just to be right. Don't deny the truth to save your face like your face can save. Your face can't do nothing. Our face can't do anything. The memorial blowing of the trumpets is a feast. And like I said earlier, Ezra and Nehemiah taught us well concerning them things. Go read Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra and Nehemiah both wrote books in the law. Read Nehemiah chapter 8, and he would tell you about this Feast of the Trumpets, and that it was a feast day, and they ate, and they drank, and they had a really good time. So I don't know where you people getting at that you ain't got to have a feast on the trumpet. To me, that's probably one of the most biggest celebrations you will have because you came up in the first resurrection. He said you will not stop singing for joy. You come up in the first resurrection, he said you are not going to stop singing for joy. You're going to shout aloud. That sounds like a big-time party. What's going on over there? It's a party over here. Oh, okay. If I could say that. Real talk. Real conversations. Continue.
Verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye
now,
shall do no work.
You got some of us talking about afflicting your soul is putting up with people's stupidness. But you can eat on the atonement. I mean, eat while you fasting here. I should say for the atonement. You're supposed to be fasting here. Because you're about to be accepted. He's going to tell you when to fast. He just told us that also on the 10th day of the 7th month shall be a day of atonement and holy convocation unto you. Then he gave us instructions, right? He started giving us instructions. Now the 10th day is the atonement, right? And it's the holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Continue.
Also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day.
Let me ask you a question. Is the atonement on the 15th day?
No.
Is the atonement on the 11th day?
No.
The atonement is on the 10th day, am I correct? At sundown, am I correct?
Yes.
On the 10th day of the 7th month at sundown is the atonement, is the day of atonement that the Lord make an atonement for you on the 10th day, right? I'm just putting this out here.
Right.
I want people to listen at this, read, wrap this around their minds, that the atonement is the 10th day. Continue.
Leviticus 23 and 28. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth month, in the ninth day of the month at even. From even to even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath.
So, when is the atonement?
On the 10th day of the 7th month.
When are we supposed to fast?
On the 10th day of the 7th month from evening to evening.
That's not what that just said in 32. Read it again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. It shall be a Sabbath unto you of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even.
Stop, man. Why are you fasting here on the ninth day if the atonement is on the 10th day? And don't tell me the sun is going down on the ninth day, and then you can go and that's when it start on the end of God of Israel don't do that. He never done that. He never tell you that the evening is the end of a day. The evening is the beginning of a day.
Amen,
and
brother.
He said, in the ninth day of the month at evening, now watch this, from the ninth day at evening, from evening to evening, so on the ninth day, which would be last night is the ninth day of the month. Tonight is the 10th day of the month. Oh, wait a minute.
So that means that the atonement starts tonight?
The atonement is tonight. But when do you fast?
Last night?
There it is, on the ninth day. And why do you fast on the ninth day? Because what if the atonement, now just say he told you to fast on the 10th day, right? And God accept you on the 10th day, right? And then you go eat something. Or go commit some wickedness. Or go to work. On the atonement. On the 10th day. Right? 10th day.
Right.
He said, I don't want to see you working on the 10th day. I don't want to see, I say, anybody that's working on the 10th day is going to be cut off. Right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. We got that? Well, so you afflict your soul from the ninth day until the 10th day. And then the God of Israel seen that you fasted from the ninth day to the 10th day. Now he could say, well, see, they did it on the ninth day, like I said, from evening to evening. Now I can go and make an atonement for them because they did it on the ninth, the law said. And on the 10th day, I make the atonement for you. You notice how he didn't say, you ain't got to work. You notice ain't nothing in here on a nice day about not working or anything like that? You notice that? Ain't nothing in there about working. He told you better flick your soul on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening. The ninth day of the... Look, when do the Passover start? On the 14th day of the month at evening.
Yes.
So the Passover starts at the beginning of the 14th day. So you can't say the 15th day and the 14th day is the same. you know. But that's what we've been saying. The 10th day and the 9th day is the same, and they're not. You got 2 days here. You got 2 different days here. Pay attention to what we're reading.
Amen.
We got 2 days and 3 nights. How about that? Sure do. We got 2 days and 3 nights. You got the 9th day, and then you got the atonement. That's 2 days. And then you got the 9th day at evening, the 10th day at evening, then then when the sun go down, here come the 11th day. There go 3 evenings. 2 days, 3 evenings. We're not doing the math, bro. We're not listening. We too busy being right instead of listening. You know how many times we polluted the atonement? If the atonement was on the 10th day, then we didn't book every last one of them. But no, I take that back. No, we didn't. All we did was starve ourselves, you know, when we weren't supposed to. We were supposed to fast on the 9th day. Now get this. Now here come the hook, right? Here come the real hook. Here come God. Here come God and all his genius for making you fast from Friday night. I mean, from the 9th day until the 10th day. Now here he's saying, now celebrate your Sabbath. Now you can eat on the 10th day? Or are you going to fast 2 days? Which one is it? I asked his brother that. I said, are you going to fast 2 days? Because he said fast on the 9th day. And then up there he said, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there should be a day of atonement, a holy convocation. And you shall afflict your soul in an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Then he gave us the premise. Then he gave us the window when you're supposed to do it, on the 9th day at evening. From evening, we're supposed to afflict our souls so that the God of Israel would accept us on the 10th day because we have fasted completely on the 9th day. Completely. From sundown, from evening to evening, like he said. And then,
amen,
celebrate your Sabbath. Celebrate. We're going to eat, drink. It's the atonement. God has blessed us. He's going to bless us. We hope that God, our Father, have mercy on us. We've got through it. We got through it. Now we can celebrate. It's a feast day. Now listen to it. It's a feast. This is probably one of the most hungriest feasts you'll probably ever attend.
Yes.
Why? You've been fasting for 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
And good.
People fast in different ways because they don't understand what fasting is about. I know people that fast only maybe 4 hours or 12 hours out of the day, but they don't have a clue.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give them that because, you know, when you're giving a fast and you're doing it, you can set any rule you want. You know, hey, man, I'm going to fast. Really? Yeah, I'm going to fast to the Lord. Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, for about 3-4 hours. All right. You with it? Yeah, I'm with it. All right, cool. But then we can't take the atonement and say, well, I'm going to fast for 4 hours when it says clearly from evening to evening on the 9th day. Can't do that. We got to go the whole yard. We got to do the whole 12. See that?
Yes.
Because, once again, because of practices, this is why we miss this. I'm not saying that, you know, hey, people aren't being, man, I'm alive today, and the Father is merciful unto my soul because he heard my prayers on the 10th day when I was fasting in ignorance instead of fasting on the 9th day of the month. I was fasting on the 10th day from evening to evening instead of from the 9th day from evening to evening. But he had mercy on our ignorance. And that's that thing, man. God said he winked at that, man. He had mercy on us, man. But he said it's time for us to grow up, right?
Amen.
He said he winked at that, man. You know, yeah, you were children, man. Y'all didn't know any better. Okay. All right, I gave you that. But playtime over with it. Now we have to show and prove, right?
Right.
He told us, he said, in the scriptures, be ye men, not children in the law, right?
Right.
We playing church, Jack. People playing church, playing with people's salvation, like they have a right to, or shit. You know, that's amazing to me. That people feel like they have a right to dictate your salvation to you, like they gave it to you from God.
Mm.
Right.
Right.
Muggs is out of control with pride. And that's all it is. That's satanic, Jack. Anybody sit up there, anyone would dictate your salvation to you versus showing you your salvation and letting you discern the difference, they ruling over you or siring over you. Or if they don't have any understanding of these things at all, why are you even bothered? Why are you listening? People stupid. You got somebody that have no idea about this and you letting them teach you about the law. That make you stupider than him because you actually know better, right?
Yes, yes.
Right, right, right.
You know, I want to say this real quick, and it's unusual that you mention that about religion because that is so true. I was watching Family Guy, and the guy character on there named Peter Griffin, he was confused about religion. And the people told him he could make whatever religion he wanted to, so he opened up the Church of Fonzie. I thought that was crazy.
The Church of who?
Fonzie from Happy Days.
Oh, stop, man. For real? That had to be hilarious. Everybody walking around with leather jackets on and motorcycles. Yeah, that ain't no but another club. All right, well, case in point. Case in point. All right, so it's just another club. That's all it is. But most churches and most religions, man, and you know, I had a friend of mine, man, I love him to death, man, but this dude asked me, he says, what religion are you? Man, if Lewis could kill, that boy would have been soft. I don't do religion. I hate religion with a passion. I hate dogmas. I hate doctrines. I hate people that think that their church is supposed to follow this particular thing and that particular thing instead of following the things that's written.
Amen.
Sunday, right? Okay. You got church, right, man, making people go to church on Sunday. I hate that mindset. I mean, I literally do. Not the people. The mindset. I literally, when I was asked, am I a part of that, man, I felt my body temperature rise, brother. Because to me, that sounded like, hey, man, you don't keep the wave off because what? Hey, man, no, Jack, that ain't what we do. We keep the wave off. We love God. What are you talking about? This is that thing, man. Because you don't understand it, you're going to turn it into a doctrine of men. And we don't get that. That's how doctrines of men begins. Because of a lack of understanding covered with pride. Put icing on it. Pride. I had to turn this AC on, man. This truck is getting warm. Oh, Lord, I done kindled a fire. I done kindled a fire. I done started. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, I done kindled a fire. Seriously? That's another thing, you know, people talk about kindling fire. That's another doctrine. Yeah, you can drive your car, fire. You can light them your rooms up with candles, fire. You can turn on your heat in the winter, fire. But you can't kindle right. fires on the Sabbath. Foolish. Foolish. That's doctrine. The only fire when you hear him talk about kindling fires is usually out of your mouth. Putting your mouth on people. Sowing discord. Pointing fingers. We're going to look at that. So, let's read that whole set again, brother. Let's read that whole okay. set again. Read that 26 to the 32 without interruption. And now listen to it and watch how it sounds. Go ahead.
Leviticus 23 and 26 reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath."
Now, he said afflict your soul. Now, these are the definitions of affliction. It means this. It means disturb, frighten, to cause grievous physical or mental suffering. Right? So,
right?
That's what the atonement, that's what fast and do, especially for the atonement, because one, you want him to forgive your sins, and two, you got to get through it, and three, you show enough sorry. Four, all of this is a part of it. He said not just afflict your belly, he said afflict your heart. People think the hardest thing about the atonement is getting through the food part. He said afflict your spirit. It says, to distress with mental or bodily pain, trouble grievously, to overgrow, to humble, right? Wow. It says, to cause greater happiness or distress, discomfort, upset, grief, strain, stress, smite, torment, trouble, wound, stress. Anguish, agonize, so that's what afflict means, to cause physical and spiritual suffering. Now, here's the thing. Now, most of us do it because Christ did it for us, and that's true. That's true. He was afflicted for us. He is the atonement, hands down. He went through all of that for us. That's why he asked us to do this one day out of a year, just to fast and afflict your soul as he did yours, you know. This is that thing. So, I think it's only fair, right?
Right.
That we do that. So, this is the atonement. This is what he said. The atonement is on the 10th day, and you fast on the 9th day. From evening to evening, you should celebrate your Sabbath. Man, how do you get that messed up? How do you afflict your soul on the 9th day and on the 10th day? I just don't get that. That's like saying a 14th day and a 15th day is the same day. We can't say that, but we are saying that. The Passover began at sundown at evening. The 15th day began at sundown at evening. What? Wait a minute.
No. No.
The Passover began on the 14th day at evening, right?
Right.
Okay. The Passover began on the 14th day at evening, so you get all 11 and out your house on the 13th day. Makes sense. Right. Okay.
Amen.
Passover
right.
began on the 14th day at evening, right? Sun up to sundown.
Right.
Right. Okay, here comes the 15th day. Boom, there you go. Makes sense to me. Okay, here go the 9th day. 9th day from evening to evening, here go the 10th day. Makes sense to me.
Amen.
And think about this. You won't be making no fool out of God. You're going to halfway get through the atonement, and then he turn around, and you go and eat something after you've been accepted by the Father. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. I don't think so. So, today is the 9th day, and tonight we hope and pray that the Father receive our prayers and see us afflicting ourselves. Right?
Right.
Tonight and tomorrow, you're not supposed to work. Right?
Right.
Right. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16, and let's pick it up at verse 1. Because, remember now, the priesthood is still being set up by Moses, man. Okay? The priesthood is still being set up by Moses. So Moses is giving the law to the brothers. He's telling us, he's talking to the Levites. He's talking to the Levites, not Israel. He talked to Israel in Exodus. He talked to Israel in Numbers. He talked to Israel in Deuteronomy. But Leviticus, that's for the priests. That's the priesthood. That's who he's talking to. So when he's talking to you here, he's talking to us as in the know. We know because I can't talk to you about the Sabbath day and you ain't in the know. Yo, yo, Keith, man, look, check this out, man. You know, the Sabbath, man, you know, it's on Sabbath day. You'd be like, yeah, no doubt, man. You know, we keep the sun up and sun down. Yeah, that's all good, right? And then in the big picture, you know, that the Sabbath day also represent us being in his kingdom. To do that.
I thought that the Sabbath was on Sunday.
But see, that's talking to somebody that's not in the know. You see what I'm saying? You got to bring them
right
into the know. Leviticus, you don't hear no, you hear instructions flat out. He's talking to them in the know. That's why he has zero. That's why he got that thing presumptuous and ignorant. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Presumptuous sin is when you're just out here willy-nilly doing whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, ain't giving no rats behind about nothing. Ignorance, oh, I didn't know I was fasting on the atonement. I didn't know that I was celebrating the 15th day as the first day. I didn't know. When you know better, you got to do better.
Amen.
I mean, it's easy, you know, to be popular, but to dumb yourself down to be popular as Jesus, that's not popular. Dumbing yourself down is popular. Trying to raise people up, that's not popular. People like ignorance. They really do. Ask Jesus. Ask him why he's up on my cross, man. How he tried to teach all these people about how to get salvation, and they chose wickedness. Right?
Right.
Okay. Read on. 16:1. To the death of Moses,
Leviticus,
after the death. Yeah, 16:1.
Leviticus 16:1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he
Whoa.
Shall take the two goats.
So he's going to make an atonement for himself?
Yes.
But he's the priest. Priesthood had to be atoned for. Okay.
Yes.
Read on.
And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanliness.
Okay, stop.
And then
go to Ezra chapter 8 and verse 20, Ezra 8 and 20, because we're talking about affliction here. We're talking about how to afflict your soul, how to approach God. Because some of us are saying that you don't have to be afflicted anymore. You don't have to, you don't have to afflict. What do you mean afflict? You don't have to starve yourself. That's a misinterpretation of the Bible. And when my brother, this brother told me that, man, I was blew back, and he'd been in the Word for over 20 years. And the Lord told him that he don't have to fast anymore. I was horrified when he told me that he didn't, you don't have to fast anymore. Because in my ears, I heard God told him he don't have to fast anymore. So he's telling the people, and he's teaching these things, that you ain't got to fast. Affliction mean to be sorry and stuff like that. It don't mean that you got to fast and be all, you know, miserable and upside down about your feelings and everything. Well, let the Bible give a definition of what afflict means, right? Ezra chapter 8 and 1. When you receive it, read.
Oh, Ezra 8 and 1?
Yeah, 8 and 21.
Oh, okay. All right. Ezra 8 and 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way.
Stop. So fasting is what? That's
mm-hmm.
what Jesus said. He said, you're going to afflict your soul from the ninth day at evening to evening.
Amen.
So he said, fast. This is Ezra. Ezra is a Levite. He is the biggest Levite out there. Nehemiah was the governor. Ezra was the high priest. If he got it wrong, we all got it wrong. So we see here that he didn't get it wrong. He said, I proclaimed a fast at the river of Hava that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Fast and afflict is one and the same.
Correct.
Okay. Read that again for us, brother.
Yes, sir. Ezra 8:21 reads, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance.
For okay, I was ashamed. Go to Isaiah 58. Go to Isaiah 58. Now, this is, you know, some of us use this scripture and try to teach the atonement out of it. And this is not the atonement. But I can go in here and show how you're supposed to fast. I can do that. Right? Isaiah 58 and 3. Isaiah 58 and 3. This is not the atonement. Anybody tell you this is about the atonement? All they got to do is just read three more scriptures down and they'll see that it's definitely not about the atonement. Anyway, we're gonna do that for them so that we can stop using this verse for the atonement, God willing. 58 and verse 5.
3? Oh,
58
and 5?
3, 3, 3. Now, pick it up in 1. Forgive me. Pick it up in 1.
Okay. Isaiah 58 and 1 reads, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore, we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore, have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure.
You just read past that. Nope. You did not just read past 21. How do you afflict your soul? Read that again.
Through fasting.
Read that verse again. That's 4. That's
wherefore, have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day
fasting
of
and affliction,
your
fast and afflict is one and the same. You see that? And
right.
God, this is God talking. This ain't the people talking. He's repeating what they're saying. And he acknowledged that afflict and fast are one and the same. He acknowledged it. Keep reading.
Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bull was, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord?
See, this is why they try to make this the atonement. This is because it's an acceptable day to the Lord. Like every time you hear something in the Bible that somebody fasted, it got to be the atonement. No, it's not. It's
no.
Not. Read on.
Verse 6 reads, is not this the fast that I have chosen? to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast
Wait,
out
man,
to
up,
thy
hold
house?
Hold up. There, verse 7 just told you this is not the atonement. Why? Read that again, verse 7.
Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor?
No. If you're up under the atonement, man, you ain't thinking about giving nobody nothing, no food, anything like that.
That's right.
So this is definitely not the atonement, because he wouldn't be talking about feeding people on the atonement. That law is etched in stone. That's a set feast. So you can't use this scripture saying this have anything to do with the atonement at all. Only thing you can use this script for is the fact that fasting and afflict is one and the same. Because you got people out here that's teaching against fasting. This is that thing. So why would you deal your bread to anybody? You ain't even supposed to, you know, be feeding nobody. You ain't supposed to be feeding none of that. Everybody's supposed to be. I wouldn't even feed my dog on the atonement. That's how I feel about it. If I got a dog, dogs, you going to fast too. And they won't know no different. They'll be like, man, when I'm going to eat, and they're going to be looking at you. He'll be looking at the kitchen. Ain't nothing smelling. Ain't nothing cooking. Ain't nothing in a bowl. Ain't nothing going on. Even a beast is on a fast with you. You make your animals fast with you.
Amen.
You got you a beast or whatever, and you fast, and it's the atonement. Everybody is on the same page. So my dog fast with me. When I anointed everybody in the house, I anointed my dog too, because I didn't want those devils running out of the people then into the dog.
Ooh,
y'all make my dog crazy. You know, like spirits don't run into animals. Jesus showed us that with the pig.
Amen.
So we got to be careful with that, man. You know, you just don't want, and that's another thing, people let anybody rub their dog, you know. That's like people touching your hair. You really not supposed to do that. I mean, to each his own, but I think, you know, same with Jonas and Nineveh. In fact, let's look at that thing with Jonas and Nineveh. Let's go on to Jonas. Let's go to Jonas. Let me see. Jonah chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 4. Jonas didn't want to let these people get saved. I'm laughing at the story, but we're not reading the story. We're just reading on how do you afflict your soul and what is a fast and when a fast is proclaimed. Read on. 3 and 4.
Okay. Jonas
3 and 4.
Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. So I'm trying to get to the page.
Isn't it next to Zechariah?
What, Jonas? It's
yeah, Jonas.
Right after Obadiah. It's right after, yeah, it's after Obadiah.
Sorry about that.
That's good.
Oh, okay, I'm here. I'm here now. I'm sorry. You said right. Jonas 3 and 4?
Yeah, 3 and 4.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Jonas 3 and 4 reads, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man
Stop.
And beast be covered with—'"
So that's how you fast. No food, no water. From evening to evening.
Right. Right.
That's how you fast, right?
Right.
Okay. This is how you fast. This is how you literally fast before God. No food, no water. And this is what he asked us to do. Last night, on the ninth day of the seventh month, according to the calendar, which would be the 187th, the 189th day of the year from Abib, right? From Abib, he said, "I want you to fast. I don't want you to eat or drink nothing from evening to evening." And like you said, man, you know, some of us do it for a few hours and this, that, and the other. I get that. You know, sometimes I agree with prayers like that with some people. You know, I try not to make it a habit because then I lose focus on what it really is about and that, you know, hey, you're supposed to really fast a day. You know, because too many people be trying to cut corners instead of just being strong, you know. Hey, just do the whole 24 and call it a wrap, you know. And stop telling everybody, "Well, I'm fasting," or "I just fasted. You know, and the Spirit really lifted me." Knock that nonsense off. Stop telling people what you're doing before God. You know, like you doing. No. Well, nah, I say you can do it all you want. You got your reward, right? There it is. Okay. So he said, this is what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to not eat nor drink anything from evening to evening. Now, like I said, me, I ain't saying you guys, but I'm saying me, my beast, my dog did not eat fasting with us, or she fasted with us, you see. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, that's the way I see it. So when I read this and then I looked at that, I said, you know what? Yeah, Shaky, you fast the next atonement. And sure enough, she didn't care. She just laid at my feet. Every now and again, she cheated and licked my hand. But I didn't feed her, you know. And everybody was on a fast, man. And the other thing is, man, when he said from the greatest to the least, you know, even the children, you know. Now, I'm not talking about those that are breastfed and stuff like that. That would be, you know, what would you call it, overbearing? Because the child don't know what it's fasting for. you know, and why, you know, what is it doing and this, that, and the other. You know, it's a baby, right? Some will say, well, a dog
right.
don't either, but I can read right here. Hey, it made no difference. A dog and a dog and an ox know when they're doing something wrong. You say what you want to say. God said that if that ox kills somebody, you kill him. He knows what he did. You know, just like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
A dog know what they're doing too. That's why they look at you all pitiful. They know what they're doing. Beasts know what they're doing. So, yeah. Those of us that have pets, only atonement, include them. I don't know about your fish, but, well, it didn't say nothing about fish here. But the beasts of the
right.
field, yeah. You know, if you got a fish tank, they might escape. But anyway, so that's that thing, you know. So you don't eat food, and you don't drink water. You see? This is
yes.
that thing. Just a little further. Let's go into Romans. If I'm not mistaken, Romans chapter
14?
Romans 14?
Yeah, I'm looking at Romans 14 and 20, and it's talking about not eating.
Actually, I was on Romans 5.
Okay.
Because
yes,
remember
sir.
Now, when he had the scapegoat, took our sins, and the other goat died for our sins, and then he sprinkled us with the water, and so we were what? Reconciled. Right, right. Okay. So, go to Romans chapter 5 and pick it up in verse 10.
Romans 5 and 10. For we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
There it is. See that? Christ is the atonement. And this is why we keep the atonement, because Christ is the atonement. You know, and you receive that. You receive that from God, you know. And if he called you to participate and keep the atonement, then that's a high call, because not everybody gets this call. We know people that's in their 60s, 70s, and 80s have never heard these things, because God never gave it to them. Have
Amen.
They been called? I can't say, because if they don't know, then he hasn't spoke to them. So how can you say they've been called? I say they got a mission. Everybody's predestinated to do something, you know. If it's just to come and die, they predestinated to do that. But people that don't, that's not privy to certain things, like the Passover, like his feast days and stuff like that, those are high callings. Even though they're not mysteries, they still high callings, and people have to adhere, right?
Right.
This is that thing. Okay, so now we know that you can't eat or drink when you're fasting, right?
Right.
Okay, let's look at another thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is something else you can't be doing while you're on the atonement. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4. In fact, let's pick it up at 3.
First Corinthians 7:3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency.
So,
but I speak this.
Have sex when you fasting. See that?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only time you can't have sex. Well, of course, you're on a period. Menstrual,
yeah.
I would say. Menstrual flowers, you know. I kind of flew out to the pillow, you know.
It's you.
It do. But, I don't even know if you women even use them terms among each other anymore. Yeah, I'm on my thing. They say something like that, but I don't be hearing them say I'm on my period. I don't hear that as much as I used to. Wait a minute. I may be telling my age. Hold up. Oh my God. Anyway, but it says this. He said for prayer and for prayer and fasting, right? So this is that thing. So now we see that not supposed to drink water, not supposed to eat or drink, right? Everybody
right.
in the crib is fasting, you know, man, woman, child. I ain't talking about infants because infants is, you know, their lifeline is the milk right now. So you don't want to put them in jeopardy, you know, being righteous over much, so to say, right? Right. So this is that thing we got to be really conscious of. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and Hebrews 13 and 4.
Hebrews 13 and 4.
Right.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Stop.
Let your conversation.
This is why I had read that, because the married bed is honorable in all things, you know. And some of us even heard me even tell people that, you know, it's no law in the Bible say that a man and a woman can't come together on the Sabbath day. There is no law that says that. We could not do it by choice. That's between you and God and your spouse. But there's no law against that. He said the marriage is honorable in all. So whatever y'all do, Katsu, whatever y'all do, that's y'all business, as long as y'all in between each other. But this here, whoremongers and adulterers, he said, God will get them. But he ain't going to mess with the married couples that's a little eccentric, so to say. Right?
Right.
Right. But not on the atonement, because you fasting and praying. You see that?
Right.
Okay. But this is why I say the Sabbath day, except for the atonement, is the only day that a woman, and of course a menstrual, is the only time a man cannot come together with his wife. Why? Because, one, his wife ain't even in the law to even pollute. That's the first problem. That's the first hiccup. People don't even realize she's not even in the law to pollute. So if there's no law there for her, how can I sin? Give me a break. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 20 and 8. So when you fasting, you got to be careful. You can't have sex. Even though it's lawful. I'm going to show you why.
Exodus 20 and 8.
Yes, sir.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For
so,
in 6 days the Lord
ain't no woman even in this conversation. The wife is not even in this conversation. I see the daughter, I see the maid. I don't see the wife. Oh, see that kind of reasoning you add into the scriptures, my man. Can't do that. See right here, there's a scripture in the New Testament says that where there is no law, there is no transgression, right? Other words,
right.
You're going to sit up and say, hey, man, you stole an airplane. Well, ain't nothing said that I couldn't. Why are you calling me a thief? Ain't no rules on that. I'll make it even plainer. Hey, you just kicked that leaf off the tree. You're a sinner. What? There's no law against picking leaves. Where you going with that? Just like there's no woman here, no wife here. So how you going to be judged? He gave you this beautiful body to stay warm with. And you with her on the Sabbath, things is going to happen. So to keep from throwing us in the lake of fire, because he gave us a beautiful thing to lay next to, be it man or woman, and it's the Sabbath day, he didn't have her in there just so he wouldn't be throwing us all in the lake of fire. Right?
Right.
And some brothers say, well, see, you can't be unclean on the Sabbath. So God gave me then that's going to make me a sin between me and my wife, which is life. The seed of copulation, which is life, becomes sin to you. Nah, no. He just tell you to wash up. You know, just wash up. He ain't mean unclean. Like, you unclean like you need to take a bath. He ain't unclean like you wicked. That's the difference. That's the difference. Let's go into Joel. Let's go to Joel. The 2 and verse 12. Chapter 2 and 12, this will be the last verse. And then we'll be back here later on this evening to do the atonement lesson. Yeah. Because y'all been, we have been to earn it, right? Some of us going to be listening now while we smacking it, brother. You know.
You know.
Hey, Joel chapter 2 and 12. This is the last
Joel 2 and 12 reads, "Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God?"
See that?
Blow the trumpet.
This is why you can't change. This is why you can't change the words in the Bible. You know, because if I'm like that, and if I think I'm God, and I can change words in the Bible, you know, like this, like El and Elohim and stuff like that, you run into stuff like this, it'll kill you, and it'll throw you into judgment. You'll be up here reading this. The Lord knoweth, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering, a drink offering unto the Lord, onto the El, your El.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Onto Yah, your Yah.
I know somebody that had been doing that, and they ended up just recently, last week, they ended up in the hospital.
Well, that's a sad thing, and I hate that happened. I hope God have mercy and not throw them in a lake of fire for that. Alter the word of God. This here tells you plainly. This is why the books that talk about, well, it's just going to be speaking Hebrew, which you don't even know what you're reading. Anyway, I didn't figure it off in that spiel. You got to close out. He said, "And leave a drink offering unto the Lord your God." So you got both of them here. Saith the Lord, leaving a drink offering unto the Lord your God. So what you gonna do? This is what happened when you start altering stuff, and then now you're taking away what he's saying. Wait a minute. You cutting him off and putting your little two cents in there. Like some big clamorous mouth woman. You know, don't know how to be quiet or don't know her place before God. This is it. You don't do that, man, or you're going to end up in a hospital. God forbid. But that's a real conversation. He said, if you add into this book, I'm going to add the plagues onto you. Into this book. So yeah, man, now you got to be careful with that. And I hate to hear that happened to whoever that was, but Preventure, they learn a lesson.
I pray so
too. I hate to come out of there just as stupid as I was before I went in there playing with the words.
Ooh-wee.
Anyway, read that last voice. Read that read that 14 and 15.
Verse
12 through 17, and we're going to close out.
All right. Jael 2 and 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the best. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?
Ain't that something? Well,
yes.
Hey, brother, I'm just going to say, great drive reading. We're pushing up on the clock. I don't know if anybody, I'm going to open up some microphones. If anybody want to say anything, we got every bit of a 5 minutes left. And, you know, and tonight, don't forget, tonight, we're going to eat us something. All right? We're going to celebrate the feast.
Amen.
So, with that being said, let me see if I'm gonna open. No, okay, I'll just do this. And if anybody have anything to say, say something. If you don't say nothing. It's okay. Mic's open.
Great lesson, Brother Joe.
Praise God. Gotta love him for it. He the one that gave it to us, bro.
Amen.
I didn't know I was gonna go that direction. I did not. I seriously didn't. But hey, praise be the Lord. Great job reading, man. Great job reading.
Thank you,
Amen.
Sir. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I just want to say grace and peace unto the family and hang in there, you know what I'm saying? Stay strong, vigilant, and the Lord won't put us through anything that we cannot handle. So as a great lesson, much love to the family. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight. And with that, I close.
Amen. Any more questions or comments before we close out? The mic's open. Okay. Well, we're gonna say this prayer quickly. We're just gonna ask the Father to continue to give us the strength that we can finish out this day. And we hope that the Father do have mercy on us. We wouldn't be here if we didn't love and fear him. And we're looking for an atonement. We, you know, a lot of us don't even know how to approach God. And I'm one of them. But days like this make it so much easier to approach him. And then, too, you know, he shows us, like, in one day that, hey, man, you could be holy the whole year, you know, just by the atonement, keeping the atonement, being like you are, normal, cool, chill. It's being easy. You can do this all year long. You can do it all year long. right? So be that.
Right.
So I just got that 90-second warning. So, hey, everybody, later on this evening, we're going to do. And we're going to hope and pray that the Father accepts our burnt offerings and all that fat burning we did last night and the day. All right? So Godspeed and finish enjoying the Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, read your Bible.
Sounds of Living Waters radio show.
Read your Bible.
Sounds of Living Waters. Sounds of Living Waters. Sounds of Living Waters radio show.
We'll teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, radio show.